News 18 Daybreak. The perfect way to get you started and informed for the day ahead.
Hello and welcome to News 18's morning podcast, Daybreak. I'm Pathikrit Sengupta. While there's understandably a pandemic of coronavirus-related news all around, let's have a listen to some other big stories. Shiv Sena leader Neelam Gorhe on Thursday said actor Kangana Ranaut should face a sedition case for terming India's independence as arms and her Padma Shri award should be revoked. The actor is under fire after she said during a recent event organized by a news channel that the country's independence in 1947 was not freedom but bheek or arms. And we got real freedom in 2014, Ranaut said, apparently referring to the BJP coming to power. Gorhe, who is deputy chairman of the Maharashtra Legislative Council, said in a release that the actor made a very irresponsible, baseless and unhistorical statement. She has also insulted all former prime ministers, including late Atal Bihari Vajpayee, Gorhe said. She should be charged with sedition for her comments. Her Padma Award should also be revoked, the Shiv Sena leader added. Earlier in the day, the Aam Aadmi Party submitted an application to Mumbai police demanding that a case be registered against Ranaut. The AAP's national executive member Preeti Sharma Menon termed the actor's remarks as seditious and inflammatory. Ranaut has sparked controversies in the past with her comments and jibes at opposition politicians. Senior Congress leader Ghulam Nabi Azad on Thursday dismissed as factually wrong and an exaggeration the comparison of Hindutva with the jihadist Islam of terrorist groups such as ISIS and Boko Haram in party colleague Salman Khurshid's latest book. Azad, a former leader of opposition in Rajya Sabha and a member of the group of 23 leaders that wrote to party chief Sonia Gandhi seeking organizational overhaul, tweeted, "In Mr. Salman Khurshid's new book, we may not agree with Hindutva as a political ideology distinct from composite culture of Hinduism, but comparing Hindutva with ISIS and jihadist Islam is factually wrong and an exaggeration." The book by former Union Minister Khurshid on the Ayodhya verdict, titled Sunrise Over Ayodhya, Nationhood in Our Times, was released on Wednesday. A Delhi-based lawyer has filed a complaint with the Delhi police seeking registration of an FIR against Khurshid on the matter. According to lawyer Vivek Garg, Khurshid in his book writes, "Sanatan Dharma and classical Hinduism known to sages and saints were being pushed aside by a robust version of Hindutva, by all standards a political version similar to the jihadist Islam of groups like ISIS and Boko Haram of recent years." Matthew Wade smashed Shaheen Shah Afridi for a hat-trick of sixes to power Australia to the final of the 2021 T20 World Cup with a 5-wicket win over Pakistan on Thursday at Dubai International Cricket Stadium. Australia needed 22 runs from the last two overs and Pakistan's skipper Babar Azam went with his best bowler of the tournament, Shaheen Afridi, to bowl the penultimate over. Wade hit the left-arm seamer for back-to-back sixes on the last three balls of the over to seal the game for Australia. Wade shared a crucial 81-run stand for the sixth wicket with Marcus Stoinis to shift the momentum in Australia's favour. Stoinis, who played the aggressor in the partnership, witnessed some brutal power hitting from Wade from the other end in the penultimate over. Wade remained unbeaten on 41 of just 17 balls as his innings was laced with 4 sixes and a couple of fours, while Stoinis scored 40 not out of 31 balls. Chasing a formidable target of 177, Australia lost their skipper Aaron Finch early as Shaheen dismissed him on the second ball of the chase for a golden duck. Pakistan put pressure on the Aussie batters for the first three overs, but David Warner took charge of the innings by smashing Imad Wasim for a six and a couple of boundaries. Warner shared a crucial 51-run stand alongside Mitchell Marsh to revive the chase for Australia. However, Shadab Khan spun his web in the middle overs to wrap Australia's middle order cheaply. The Aussies were 96 for 5 at one stage and the momentum was completely in Pakistan's favour. But Wade and Stoinis changed the script to guide Australia to their second final of the T20 World Cup. Earlier, Mohammad Rizwan and Fakhar Zaman hit attacking half centuries to drive Pakistan to 176 for 4 against Australia in the second semi-final. Rizwan, who top scored with 67, and Zaman, who hit an unbeaten 55 of 32 deliveries, put on 72 runs for the second wicket to help Pakistan to a challenging total after being put into bat first in Dubai. Rizwan's opening stand of 71 with skipper Babar Azam, who made 39, unsettled the Australian bowling in the first 6 overs of power play. Australia will now face New Zealand in the summit clash of the T20 World Cup final, where the new champion will be crowned on November 14 in Dubai. United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres on Thursday warned that a key temperature goal in climate talks is on life support, but he still hopes that world governments will step up their pledges to slash emissions of greenhouse gases. In an exclusive interview with the Associated Press, Guterres said the negotiations set to end on Friday in Glasgow, Scotland, will very probably not yield the carbon-cutting pledges he has said are needed to keep the planet from warming beyond the 1.5-degree threshold. Still, the UN chief wouldn't say at what point he thinks that goal would have to be abandoned. When you are on the verge of the abyss, it is not important to think too far into the future, he said. What's important to discuss is what will be your first step. Because if your first step is the wrong step, you will not have the chance to make a second or third one. So far, the talks have not come close to achieving any of the UN's 3 announced priorities for the annual conference called COP26. One is cutting carbon emissions by about half by 2030 to reach the goal Guterres alluded to. The other two are getting rich countries to fulfill a 12-year-old pledge of providing $100 billion a year in financial climate aid to poor nations and ensuring that half of that amount goes to helping them adapt to the worst effects of climate change. Guterres said the Glasgow talks are in a crucial moment and need to accomplish more than securing a weak deal that participating nations agree to support. The worst thing would be to reach an agreement at all costs by a minimum common denominator that would not respond to the huge challenges we face, Guterres said. That's because the overarching goal of limiting warming since pre-industrial times to 1.5 degrees Celsius or 2.7 degrees Fahrenheit by the end of the century is still in reach but on life support, Guterres said. The world has already warmed 1.1 degrees Celsius or 2 degrees Fahrenheit. Less than 36 hours from the scheduled close of the negotiations, Guterres said that if negotiators can't reach ambitious carbon-cutting goals, and very probably it will not happen, then national leaders would need to come up with new pledges next year and in 2023 during high-level meetings. Guterres later told climate negotiators that promises ring hollow when the fossil fuels industry still receives trillions in subsidies or when countries are still building coal plants. In a separate interview late Thursday, former Irish President Mary Robinson accused Saudi Arabia and Russia of trying to cut out or water down language in a draft agreement that would call for a phase out of coal and an end to fossil fuel subsidies. She also blasted British Prime Minister Boris Johnson, the host of the climate talks, for not taking them seriously enough, not being in crisis mode and sticking around, unlike his French counterpart in 2015. Guterres said he agreed with youth climate activists who have been a daily presence protesting in large numbers outside the climate talks and at times inside, who called for the UN to term global warming a climate emergency of a high level. For me, it is clear it is a climate emergency, Guterres said. Right, everyone, that's all for today, but we will be back again next week with a fresh dose of news for you. In the meantime, don't forget to subscribe to the newsletter Daybreak at news18.com and do follow the website for more news and developments. Thank you for listening. Have a very good day and a great weekend.
News 18 Daybreak, the perfect way to get you started and informed for the day ahead.